Hello, everybody, and welcome to Water Wine Time with Megan Weaver, Love, Life, and Entertainment. I have Dawn Lucky Manning here today, who has worked with Maroon 5 and Beyonce, my best friend, who doesn't know it yet, but she'll figure it out eventually after a couple podcasts. Who knows that we're best friends. And has also worked with Nate Parker in his recent film, Eden, which the trailer is out now, and they're still negotiating and working out the details so you guys can see that. But let's talk about the Maroon 5. You know, I, as you know, am recently engaged, and they were going to weddings and crashing, or kind of crashing weddings for the music video for Sugar. How was that? And what was that? How was that journey working with him or working with them?
Well, due to my NDA, I can't talk too much. I can say what I did. It was a great experience. It was definitely one of the most memorable experiences to actually give that experience to real live weddings. There's a lot of people saying, oh no, it was fake. No, it was not fake. I found the weddings, they were real weddings, and we made it happen. But it was an experience I will never forget out of any music video I've ever worked on. It's definitely one of those that, when that curtain drops and to see the brides and grooms' faces, it was all the headache and the craziness to try to make that happen and to get to the weddings on time, it just made it all worth it. It was just, everything came together at the end. Like, wow, we did that. We were on the side, like little kids crying. We were so excited that we pulled it off. So,
and it's funny because I see some of the clips. Like, I'll see, you know, from the weddings, from the video. And the women are like, yes, oh my gosh, Adam, it's Adam. And the grooms are like, yeah, he looks good. And you can tell that the women, obviously the men are just as, you know, excited too.
Right.
But the women generally, let's just say, you know, I mean, I can acknowledge an attractive man, and Adam is attractive.
Very.
You know, and I'm you're like, okay, from you seeing him in person, you're like, yes, he is attractive.
Very, very.
And someone actually told me that. I was like, yeah, maybe I'll get Beyonce to sing at the wedding. And I was like, no, you don't get someone really stunning. I was like, oh. Never mind. She can't steal my spotlight. I love you, B, but you can't steal my spotlight on my day because you're beautiful and you got a voice that I don't have. But it's interesting seeing that, you know. So you actually did scout and find the weddings.
Yes, we looked around and we found the weddings.
That's how we. Okay. So they were all different places, different people, and yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Nice. Yeah. And I guess you had to keep everything hush-hush.
Yes, yes. Due to, like, very, very strict NDAs. I can't really talk details. Mm.
Yeah, of course. But to keeping everything, like, hush-hush, I think with Beyonce's album, that was, like, the biggest...
That was the biggest hush.
Hush-hush.
That was the biggest hush. That was probably the one video that I worked on for about a week and a half and did not even know who I was working for. Mm. I didn't even know I was working for Beyonce or working on a Beyonce video. It was very, very hush-hush because we didn't know how the album was going to drop. None of us knew. They just kind of just did it. Our videos was one of the last. I worked on Haunted and Superpowers, and they were one of the last in that bunch of videos that she did. And literally, I think the video dropped in January. We wrapped in, like, I was still doing probably paperwork in December, and the videos was just like there, and it just dropped overnight. Like, no one knew it was going to happen, but it was major, major, major secretive. Like, the people that I hired, they didn't know they were working on it. Like, no one knew they would show up. Like, you know, we took all cell phones away from people on set. We had to check in cell phones. Like, you do a cold check, we checked your cell phone. Like, there was nothing. Like, we made sure that, and then we were searching, like, people posting things. We made sure that we tried to keep that as secret as possible, you know, from higher ups. But we just thought, like, oh, you know, secret. We just don't want, you know, paparazzi coming to set. We had no idea that it was going to, like, one, we didn't even know we were, like, in the midst of a whole bunch of other videos either. We just thought we were just doing a video. We had no idea that it was, like, part of something so much bigger. But it was that was, like, my introduction into, like, music videos. I'd done, like, lots of small videos, but that was my first, like, wow, this is how they do it?
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, no one does it like Beyonce.
You don't get that again.
But it was still an experience that you're like, wow, you know, she spoke to everyone. She was really cool. It wasn't, you know, it wasn't like people like, oh, no. It was none of that. It was very like, we're here to work. We got a job to do. And everyone did their job. And it was beautiful. It turned out great.
So how did you get involved with that? Huh. Because it is a secret. So I was like, how do you get invited to this secret society or this secret, like, project to work on the first place?
Well, that all goes back to Nate Parker's film. Mm. I was working on Eden with Nate Parker, the L.A. leg of Eden. And Nate and I are really good friends. We went to college together. But we didn't know, I did not know that Nate was involved in this movie. It was completely like, oh, I'm working on this movie. The actor is Nate Parker. I'm like, oh, okay. I went to college with this guy named Nate. So it kind of worked out that way. And so, you know, I had already, you know, talked to the producers about, you know, what I do, my line, my budgets and things of that nature. And it was cool. They called me for the LA leg of it. And I came in and I did my thing. And while me and the, I would say, there was someone on set that was doubting my skills.
Someone you don't plan to speak of? Yeah, is that...
someone that I'm not going to mention name, but they were doubting my skills of what I can do, partly because I am a female in this line of work, and it was just a lot of doubt, and they brought someone in to look over me, and, you know, that person looking over me after the job was over was like, wow, you really know your stuff. I have this job coming up. I think you'll be perfect. That job was Beyonce.
Wow.
And I've been working with that company for the past year and a half now. So that literally has blossomed into Maroon 5, Beyonce, Coldplay. So that one person thinking that, you know, I don't know my job, bringing someone in to watch over me, that someone that watched me, saw me, and saw that I knew what I was doing, and hired me at his company. And I've been rolling with him ever since.
Wow. Do you feel like you had to step it up? Because, I mean, obviously you want to do good work, do great work, you know, regardless of the project. But because someone is doubting you, or someone, you know that someone's like, okay, I know she's not going to do good. So do you feel like you have to do, like, an extra?
No.
Or you just like, you know, at the end of the day, I know what I can do?
Right. That was more what it was. It wasn't that. It was just the fact that I felt like there was going to be no pleasing regardless. Mm-hmm. So I was like, you know what? I'm going to, you know, I have to work this out. I'm invested with my crew. Like, I beyond take care of my crew and my talent. Like, that's number one for me. And I'm one of those people where my crew comes first. Before my big stars, my crew comes first. Mm. Because those are the people that are working the 19-hour days that don't get the plushy trailers and things of that nature. So I take care of my guys, my girls too, whoever's in my crew. And I'm always looking out for them. So no matter what someone is going to be beating me down, I'm making sure that I'm not going to leave them hanging. My crew comes first. I make sure they're taken care of. I make sure they get their turnaround, their sleep, their food, their breaks, their meals, whatever they need to have, their tools to make it happen. Because without them, you're not going to have this beautiful project. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. And everyone always forgets the people behind the scenes. And that's one thing I will, and most people, anybody that's worked for me can tell you that I take care of my team. When I can, I will make sure, I go over and beyond for them.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, how long have you said working with Beyonce, and you've done the Maroon 5, you've done the Coldplay, how do you feel about videos? Like, how long have you been doing music videos?
A year.
Like, how did you, yeah, it's like, it's a new thing.
It literally was a year, and what was the thing I'm kind of like moving out of, back out of, but it just started randomly with that one project, and they kept coming. So it was like, you know, it's just like in this any kind of world, it's with this entertainment world, you never know when your next job is going to come. So you don't want to be like, oh, no, I'm going to wait for a movie. You're right. You're going to take it. You're going to take the job. And especially if they're cool concepts. I was, you know, Jonas Åkerlund is one of the directors I work for. Amazing director, like amazing, done amazing, beautiful work, you know. It's just like, you know, what they can do and what they can bring to life, you know. And then I worked on, you know, other things. Like, you know, I work with, currently right now, I work with this guy named Emil. And Emil is another, like, really cool, artistic, you know, so I get a chance. With the music videos, you get a chance to play make-believe. And, like, you can play make-believe and make things, like, it's not just so structured like a movie. It's like, oh, okay, I'm going to put this person upside down, and it's okay, because I can. Like, you know what I mean? Like, the directors, they have a no-holds-bars kind of attitude. Like, oh, we're going to do it. And I think those two directors, you know, are so creative that it's kind of cool. It's like refreshing, like, wow, it's like a little kid. You know, you get to play and you like make whatever you want. So yeah, I would say for the past year it's been music videos, but I'm definitely, through the year that I've been working music videos, I have been laying down groundwork for movies that are going to hit this summer, that I'm going to produce this summer. I've done tons of budgets. That's like my little side thing that I do. I do tons of budgets for people. Some movies happen, some movies don't happen. Mm-hmm. You know, that's the nature of the game. But there's a few movies that I'm up for one this summer in Philadelphia, and another one that's supposed to shoot in San Fran. So there's a couple, I have a couple movies that I've laid the groundwork on that should be working out this summer. But you never know. Mm-hmm. So in the meantime, I would rather do a music video, take 2 weeks of my life, and not, I mean, two stressful long weeks.
Long weeks.
But, you know, I'd rather do that than just say, where am I going to get my next paycheck? Mm-hmm. I'd rather stay creative and stay active in my fields than to wait on a movie.
Yeah. So how do you pick these projects that you work on? You know, obviously, you don't want to work on, if you're working for grueling hours, long hours, 14, 15 hours on something, you want to have something that you like. But then there are some you're like, wait, I do have those bills that I need to pay.
Exactly.
So I'm going to go ahead and pick that one up. But in an ideal world, you know, if money is not an issue at the moment, what are the projects that you are drawn to? What are the ones that you're saying, like, I want to work with that. I do it for this amount, or I do it for whatever. The ones that you're connected to.
Right. Okay, perfect example. I have tons of movies that have come my way that I have turned down.
Mm-hmm.
The reason is because, right, they don't speak to me as far as like, oh, well, this is something that I want my daughter to see when she gets older, or things of that nature. You know, I just recently turned on a project. It was just so like, I would say, like, over-sexed, and, like, the black lead was very, very, like, stereotypical. She was on drugs, she's on welfare, she's this, and I'm like, I don't want to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's when I say no. Like, I feel like there are certain things I have to say no to. There are certain things that I should have said no to in the past, but I'm glad I didn't, because of the experience that I made and how I was able to maybe change their minds and maybe have them see things differently, and they've actually curbed that their thoughts and made things slightly different, and it wasn't as, you know, as I thought. But yeah, there are things, you know, you do have to pay your bills. I'm a single mom, so it's at the end of the day, my daughter is my number one and my number one focus of where money needs to come from. But you know, I still make sure that food's on the table, but I don't sell myself out either.
Mm-hmm.
So,
do you feel like some of the projects that you work on, you know, like comedians, like there'll be comedians, they'll do their comedies, and then in their personal lives, they are just as funny. Do you feel like it has a sense of your personality, the project that you work on, or is it?
Well, I'm
kind of give you creative liberty to do.
Yeah, my what I do mainly, production manage and line producing. So I'm in the numbers part of it. So I basically take the script. A lot of people have no idea what I actually do. I hire the crew, but I take the script or whatever, and I'm either given a budget or I make the budget. And I take the budget and I make it work for what we have to do. So I'm like, oh, you want to do this explosion? You can do this explosion, but you may not. You can get this helicopter. Like, you know me, I make it work for what the vision is of the director or whatever. And we work together creatively to make it happen. So I wouldn't say my life per se is in it, but my connections as far as like, oh, I used to be a professional dancer. I can call any dance agency and say, hey, I'm doing this. I need dancers 3 minutes from now. And they'll send me dancers like that.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of things. Personally, I worked on a Juicy J, Nicki Minaj music video. Last minute, they need a choreographer. I choreographed the video on the spot. So there are things that my personal life kind of helps. Like, oh, my love for dance, it worked out. I'm not going to say I'm going to jump in and choreograph every music video while UPMing and line producing. That was not a good idea. But, you know,
I'm like, that is actually putting extra work on top. Right? It's like, not only am I doing this, but I'm doing this and this and this for the same project.
But the fact that I was able to do it and make my director happy, and which was Benny Boom, and as I've always looked up to him as a director, so my first time working with him, it was cool to be able to, like, jump in and handle that for him. Mm-hmm. And he was happy, and you know, he's fellow alpha, and you know, so it, yeah. It was a nice little connection that we had on set, so it worked out just great, you know.
And I will say, this is also my soror, since you guys didn't know, didn't mention
right.
earlier.
Pinky's up.
Yes, and she actually is matching. You can't see this, but I don't know if she was spying in my closet today and said, oh, I think, wait, we should wear the same color. I just don't have a jean jacket. She's wearing a jean jacket. And so, yeah, so just thought I'd throw that in there for you so you guys knew what was going on here. And we're both from Maryland, so we're like kindred spirits here. This is meant for this to happen. I think it's great that you're able to have, you know, those personal things. Like you said, you're a dancer, so you can incorporate, and it's a quality that you can use in your projects and works, and it's worked in your favor. So I think it's always beneficial for people when you do have things outside of you're having tunnel vision with work, you know? So you have to have a personal life. You got to have stuff going on or other things to your character to bring forward to the table when you're working. So, but what was the first project that you've ever worked on that was on TV or that you actually saw on the screen and said, oh my gosh, I helped to do this project? You know, it's one thing as an actor to see it, but even that, this is a project you helped to bring to the screen.
Yeah, what so was my that? My non-acting stuff.
Yeah, non-acting. That's what I'm saying. Non-acting. Producing, working on unit, you know.
What was that?
Production-wise.
I would say Dysfunctional Friends, maybe? Yeah, that had to be the first one that was on the screen, actually in a theater, that my mom flew down and came to the red carpet and got all dressed up, and she was so excited. But she did not understand. She was like, why is everybody on that thing taking photos? Like, she had no idea. It was so cute.
She's like, why are they on that thing taking photos? Let's go see the movie.
Yeah. She's like, when is the movie gonna start? It was really cute. But I would say that was probably the most, like, proudest moment, and that was one of the moments that I met a really good friend of mine, Datari Turner, which is also one of my producer partners. And with Datari, that was meeting him definitely like touched me into love and a couple other movies, and then we collaborate on things, and we've just been great like connections as far as each other, as in like, oh, I have a question about this, or can you break down this script, or da-da-da. So I would say Dysfunctional Friends is definitely one of those films that would say started off the itch for wanting to do more, definitely. Mm-hmm. And working with Corey Grant, which is the director that I've worked with since. I gave him his first job when he was in college. So I've known him for about, dating myself, 20 years now. And so we've known each other for a long time, and he's just a great person to work with. And, you know, so, and that he's another person that we've done so many movies together that it's kind of like autopilot.
So how many projects do you think you've worked on that have connected you from friends or people that you know? Because it seems like most of the things that you're telling me, it's like, oh, I got the Beyonce because of Nate, you know, or this situation, I've known Corey. You know, do you feel like you get the bulk of your work? And you are freelance, so right. That's kind of how things
that's
work
how it works.
When you're freelance.
Every single solitary job, probably except for maybe one or two, I've gotten from word of mouth. Is either like I work for this company and I've been referred through somebody else. Majority, that's what it is. Everything, all my jobs come through referrals. Like, oh, I need a line producer, I need a UPM. There are not too many PMs and LPs out there that really like have the patience to like do it, because it's a stressful situation where you're dealing with somebody else's money, and so it's a small group of us. So I get passed around like constantly. Like I would say every day I get a script in my email. Oh, I got your number from such and such. Can you read this? Mm-hmm. And obviously I can't read everybody's script. And, you know, everybody does not have a budget either. So, not saying I won't do it if you don't have a budget. It's just, I also have bills.
You got to pay your bills. You
right,
got to eat.
Right.
Now, like, if you're a millionaire or if you're
right,
then that's you know. One thing. I can do this on the side and just kind of
right.
chill.
But if I do believe in the script and I feel that, wow, this can go somewhere, I'll try to help them find funding. I'll take that script. I'll try to do what I can if I feel as though, like, okay, this could work. Like, you have something here. You know, even if they have $0 to their name, I could say, okay, let's figure it out. I want to help you. And I might not be able to help them, but I might know somebody else that can.
Yeah.
You know? So, and that's where the connection of people helps, you know?
Mm-hmm. Now, what are the projects that you are drawn to? You know, obviously, like I said, you know, you got to take some stuff. Like, I don't really like this project, but you got a nice budget. And I like to take a trip, so I'm going to take this. But what would you, like, what sparks your fancy when you're like, I like this script or I like this music video?
Well, the music videos, I usually don't find out about them until, like, I'm already in. Like, I just know this is the video. And, I mean, I'll get a treatment and I'll get, but usually I'm already, like, attached.
Already on board.
Right. It's usually like, okay, this director that I'm attached to has another video. And that's kind of how it works. But as far as the movies, a good writer will really, really, like, there's a writer named Chris Kubasik. My favorite writer. Like, he's an amazing director as well. I worked with him this summer. And literally, he, when you read his stuff, it literally comes off the page and you're sitting there like, oh my goodness. Like, I had a nightmare once. Like, it's literally, he's that good of a writer. And he did The Booth at the End, a little short, like the web series online called Booth at the End. Such amazing work. And, like, people like him, he should be, like, this giant, rich, famous writer right now. He's not, but he's going to get there. So stuff, like, things like that make you, like, want to do, like, I want to do something of his. Like, I, like, okay, what can we do? You know, we're trying to make it work, you know. I don't care if you don't have any money. We'll figure it out.
We'll figure it out.
Yeah, you know, because I know that he writes stuff that comes from some weird, twisted person. I love you, Chris. Like, weird, twisted thing in his head, and he puts it on the page, and you're like, wow, like, someone can write this. Like, you know, it's like almost like somebody writing your dream, like a nightmare, but, like, to the detail where you can have it again. Like, he's good. So that's what draws me to make movies and do things like that, to make things that, to play make-believe, but in real life, like, you know? Like, what other job can you actually go play make-believe and get paid for it?
That's very true, yeah, unless you're, like, a fairy. Or, right. Because those jobs exist. Right. In some magical world.
But you can probably, Tinkerbell.
Yeah, unless you are Tinkerbell professionally and you live in a fairy tale world. And then you probably work, you know, in Disneyland or Disney World. So, but that's your own fairy tale. Now, most people, I'm just guessing, five-year-olds don't say, hey, mommy, guess what I want to be? I want to be a producer. I want to be, you know, production manager. Is that something that you said? Like, we're just going to go now in your personal life. But yeah, was that five-year-old Dawn saying that at, you know, telling her mom that specifically that's what you want? I want to make budgets.
No, that's what
was it? How did you know?
I was telling her I wanted to be Janet Jackson.
Okay. Mom, I'm going to be Janet Jackson.
Yes, I was going to be her. Not like her. I was going to
be her. Exactly. Like, I'm just changing my whole body and I will be her. Exactly. Exactly. Okay, baby girl, you can do it.
So, no, I kind of just fell into making budgets. I was never a math person. Like, in college, I was an English tutor. Like, math was never my strong point. But it was one of the things where I started doing it without knowing I was doing it. Like, oh, okay, you want me to produce your movie? Sure. Obviously, you know, movies with no budgets, you're doing everything. So I found myself, oh, okay, I'm going to hire this crew. I have a pretty good gift of persuasion. So let me talk to these vendors. I don't have much money. Let's see what I can get. Let me talk to this place. Maybe I can get some free food. And before you know it, I'm doing it without doing it. And then now I can call people and get free cameras if I need it. I can call. It's just knowing people and having that good relationship because they know that I'm going to come back with something bigger. Or, you know, like, I love the camera house. Literally, that's my home camera house. Like, I would go there for everything and anything. You know, I love Panavision. So there's a lot of places that I work with on the regular that, you know, Cinelisa will hook me up with, like, you know, their motorhomes and things of that nature because I go so much that it's like, oh, okay, sure, we got you, what you need, da da da. You know, so it's one of them things where I didn't plan on it, but I love people. I love the relationships with people. And having, even though it's numbers, but all those little vendors, they're my relationships. They're my connections with people. And, like, you know, how the kids, we know each other only through email and phone. Like, I haven't seen another half of these people in person. But it's still cool because you have that little network of people. And that's kind of how it happened. It wasn't something that I was like, I want to do this. It just kind of God led me that way, and it worked.
I think it's interesting that you said you were doing it and didn't really know what you were doing or didn't know what the title was. Did and then know. Someone said, oh, so can you be my program production coordinator? Excuse me? Oh, but you did it on the last one and the one before that. Oh, I did what? Yeah, well, that's what you were doing. Oh, well, then yes, and we're going to pay you this. Oh, you're going to pay me to be doing what I was already doing? I think that's just, like, I love that.
Yeah.
And I think that that's, you know, it happens to people and not everyone's aware because you're not conscious of it.
Right.
And said, oh, I am doing that. Now someone's put a title to what
there's
I'm doing.
There's a title, right.
And now there's a paycheck involved. Okay, so this works. So how did you move out here? What was your LA move out story? Were you doing stuff back east and then it came here? What was it?
My LA move out story. I interned at Miramax Films when I was a junior at Penn State University. That's where I went.
Mm-hmm. I love how people do their shout out too.
That's right.
Like some will shout the school like, oh, football champions.
Penn State.
I was like, okay.
Blue white. You know, so I went to Penn State University and I studied film and video at Penn State. My parents would not let me be a theater major. I wanted to be, oh, I'm going to be an actor and be a theater major. And he's like, no, you've been doing that. Because I did stuff as a kid. I toured as a child doing stuff and danced and everything like that. They're like, no, do something different. I'm like, okay, I'll pick film. I'll always be employed.
I'll always have a job. So I'm still in the business.
Right. Pick something more stable. Okay, I'll be
film because they work 9 to 5, but not really.
Right, like, I'll be a producer. Right. So I picked film and I had a theater minor. Not knowing, you know, like as film, like, you know, you learn nothing. I mean, not nothing, Penn State. Like, you learn.
You know, it's that one person at Penn State, like, dang, I believed in her. I knew she was going to say good stuff and call out my name and interview and say I did good.
You learn a little bit of everything. And it basically, I don't know, trust me, college I love. I would not trade that for the world. My kid will go to college. There's none of that, like, you're not going to college thing. Find yourself. No, you're going to college.
You said find yourself. You're going to college.
Yeah, no. And, but no, I moved out here because I was like, okay, well, I interned at Miramax and I loved it. I didn't love interning there because I was stuck in an office. I'm like, okay, this sucks. I'm just reading scripts all day. I didn't even get to see a set. I'm like, what? That's the purpose of me interning at Miramax. And so then after the intern was over, I'm like, I'm moving back to LA. I tried my hardest to get a job as a PA. Could not get one. To save my life. I don't know where PAs get jobs. Well, I mean, now I know. But it's all about who you know. I didn't know anybody. So, and then it just didn't work out. So I was like, all right, this sucks. So I started doing my own little thing. So I started directing small little videos for my friend Elliot. And I did, I did Elliot Popkins 2 videos. And I did, like, a small thing for a Gap, like a little spec commercial. And then Corey Grant, which is, I mentioned him earlier, from director from Dysfunctional Friends, moved out here. It was like, oh, we're going to do this. And, you know, so we put our money together and we, like, did a movie. And, like, you know, so we were just, like, trying to do it. Because nobody else was putting us on, so we figured out to put ourselves on. And, you know, we did studio and we did a whole bunch of little things, little projects, and Dysfunctional Friends came.
Okay.
So literally, and then, you know, I was out here. I did the dance thing. You know, I danced. Not a stripper. I was a dancer. Real dancer.
Yeah, out here in LA, it's so funny because you actually, when I say dancer, I think professional, you know, dancer. But if you were in, you know, D.C., Atlanta especially, and you say dancer, I know what you do.
Right.
And I'm like, no, she's a real dancer. Right. Like, Beyonce dancer.
Yeah.
Britney Spears dancer. Like, when she performed,
like,
on a stage.
Yeah.
Like, trained. Like, she actually took classes. And not pole dancing. Not twerking, booty clapping dances.
Right. Which I won't do. Because I don't have no booty anyway. But, So I was a dancer. Like, a real dancer. And I did that. And then I got pregnant with my daughter. And then I was like, okay, time to focus on film 100%. And my daughter was the blessing that literally made me, like, focus. Like, that was like, okay, I worked as a dancer all the way up until the day I had her. I think I taught a class while I was in labor. I, like, hiked Friedman while I was in labor. Like, I was, like, that
wait,
mom.
Wait, you said you were in labor, like, and you're hiking?
Oh, yeah,
and you teaching a class? I'm like, wait, so she's, like, coming out, like...
Girl, 32 hours later, she came out.
I'm gonna say, your water broke and hiking. No, I didn't break for a long time. And then you're, like, care? I'm like, okay, so superwoman, like, bow down, okay. So, I'll give it to you if you gave birth.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, 32 hours later.
Okay.
She took a long time. So it was cool. But yeah, and then I danced and came out here and it worked out. And so my daughter was the one that said, okay, you know, you need to get something a little bit more. Like, you can't travel anymore. You know, there's no touring the world. Mm-hmm. Even though half of the film shoot outside of LA.
Yeah.
But, you know, I deal with that when it comes. But, you know, it worked out.
So how do you feel, I mean, because you mentioned your daughter, and how do you feel like is it a challenge for you to be a professional and working in your business? Because you said you're not traveling that much now, but how do you find that balance? Oh, and then even, I remember setting up this podcast, like, oh, I can't this day because I'm reading for her class. And I was like, look at that, reading. So you're very active in her life, but you still got to work. So how do you maintain that balance?
I would say that's probably the toughest part of my job, because every day it's like, who's going to pick her up from school? Like, literally, that's my life. Like, okay, so can her dad pick her up? No. Okay, who can pick her up? So literally, like, I have a team of, like, amazing, like, girlfriends and family. Well, not even family. Like, they're my family out here. But my, you know, my girlfriends that, like, okay, you got Monday, dad's got Wednesday, da-da-da. And, like, I literally, like, sadly, like, she's, like, always being picked up by one of my friends because I'm at the office till, like, 9 or 10 o'clock at nighttime, which sucks because sometimes I leave. I mean, the good thing about it is the office that I work in now is in Marina Del Rey, London Alley. Love them at London Alley. Such a fun company to work for. And they're Marina Del Rey, and so... They don't, you know, it takes me a minute to get there. So
I can say, that's far from here. Right. Like, that's a nice little hike. And if you're driving during rush hour.
Right, it's 2 hours to go get to work every morning and 2 hours to come home. So sometimes, like, you know, I drop her off at school. I get to do that every morning. So I get to take her to school every morning. But I usually come home and she's usually asleep. So I don't get to have that evening time with her. Not while I'm on a shoot. So then, like, I'm off for a week or a week and a half. So now this week I'm like, I'm reading, I'm doing this, I'm doing that. So that's why I throw everything in. This weekend we went bike riding on the beach. We do this, we do that, you know. So I try to balance it out because I know that I'm not as accessible. And she does, it does affect her. Like, she affects her a lot to the point where I'm looking into interviewing for nannies. But still, that's a chunk of my pocket. I am a single mom. So, you know, I'm interviewing for nannies next week. Just because I want her to be at home. Like, I love that my friends can help, but I just want her to be at home and go to bed. And, you know, like, I would just want a little bit more structure. Because she'll be in kindergarten. I mean, she'll be in first grade come soon. So, you know, right now, kindergarten, okay. We'll roll with the punches a little bit. Mm-hmm. But first grade, I need a little bit more. You know, because she has homework. She has things of that nature. And I love her school. They're very, you know, they're on it. They understand what I do. Mm-hmm. And I tell the teacher, like, I'm about to shoot something. She's like, okay, I'm prepared. Because she knows, like, my daughter's going to start to become a baby. Because mommy's not around. So she starts to become a baby. And then daddy babies her. So it's just like, oh, goodness. Now we have this giant 5-year-old baby. You know?
we got this big baby. Right. That's potty trained without a pacifier.
Right. Then I have to, like, deconstruct. I'm like, no. Go over there. Sit down. Do your homework. You know? So it's tough, but... There's no other way. Like, there's, I don't know any other way of doing it. But to make it work.
So how do you feel, like, what would you recommend for people that are, want to move out here, but they have kids? Like, I actually had a cousin of mine that said she wanted to do hair, you know, on set. She's like, oh, because she loves doing hair. But then again, she has kids. Now, I think now she's given up and moved, not given up, but has decided to stay in Maryland. So, Lauren, you better be listening to this podcast. But, it is difficult. It's a different, you know, process when you uproot a child. Granted, you didn't move here with her.
Right.
But would you have any suggestions or any things to give for someone? Because, like you said, there you don't have family here.
No, it's tough. Like, I'm not going to lie. I'm like, sure, come on out here. You're right. Have some money in your bank account. Just because you come out here, it's going to be the struggle to get, you know, starting off even doing hair. She's going to get those $100 day jobs. And it's going to be like, what is this? You know, like, it's not going to be anything to live with a child, you know. It's just really, really going to be tough. Like, I literally, like, searched high and low for every single sort of hand-me-down program, whatever there was. Mm-hmm. Because I'm like, I have to make this happen. This has to work. I'm not going to give up. I'm like, oh, I have a kid. There goes my dreams. You're right. No. Yeah. It's like, okay, this is my kid. This is how God wanted it. Let's make it work. And so I would say if anybody comes out here, they just have to know that it is not easy. Mm. It is very hard. Whether you're going to be an actor, producer, hair designer, whatever, nail artist, whatever you want to do with the kid, just know that you need to get ready to, like, hire some nannies and some babysitters and things of that nature. Because my day, I have scheduled 16-hour days. Scheduled. Like, those are, like, my scheduled days. And usually I'm there an hour before and an hour after, just to make sure that everything's good for my crew before they get there and everything's ready to go after. And I care too much. Like, I care about my film projects like they're my children. Mm. Like, I stayed with, like, an extra for, like, 2 hours because somebody had hurt his, slashed his tires or something. From, it was his personal thing he had going on. Nothing to do with my set.
But yeah, he's like, no part of my crew slashed your tires. Your crazy baby mama or your crazy girlfriend. Well,
he knew who did it. It's the fact that I sat with him for 2 hours at 1 o'clock in the morning until, because he was a scared teenager. He didn't know what to do. Mm-hmm. You know, so I'm like, okay, look, kid, let me help you out. I didn't have to do that. My gang boss could have came, you know. But I was like, no, I send everyone else home. And I'm like, no, I'm going to handle this because he's a kid and I want to make sure he's fine. So I care a lot about what I do and the people involved in what I do. So that's where the mom comes into me because, mm-hmm. like, my kids are my crew. Like, okay, mm-hmm. Did you eat? Like, that's how I treat them. Mm-hmm. But they need that, too, because they know that someone cares about them and that they're not just like, oh, okay, whatever, I'm just going to pay you no money and have you, like, you know, standing on this ladder for hours. No, I'm going to take care of you, mm-hmm. you know. So it's just tough. It's a tough thing to do as a mom, but you figure out how to do it. You have no choice but to make it work.
Or pick
another career, and that's not an option.
Yeah. You know? When you know that something is your career, you have no choice for that to be your career.
Right.
And I mentioned that even last week. I said, you know what? For me, even the ups and downs of this business, I have no choice.
Right.
This is where I have to be. This is my profession. You know, I have, even though I'm like, oh, no, I'm going to be a carpenter today. No, Megan, you're not. Go ahead, sit down.
Right.
Look at that script.
Read that script.
You know you're acting today. I'm like, you're right. Let me go ahead. Oh, the script. I'm a carpenter in the script. That's what you meant, I'm a carpenter.
Exactly.
I was tripping. God, I'm sorry. Let me go back to working on my lines. Because that's what I believe. I think if something is meant for you in your field, regardless, that's your profession. You have no choice.
Yeah.
And for people, when you have that, you know, feeling like I should be doing this, you know, maybe I should pursue this. Or if you have that inside you, go.
Oh, I've lost friends over it. Like, I have friends that I'm not as close to anymore because I'm so busy. They don't believe I'm as busy as I am. Or I don't make time to do this or that, the third. They have no idea. One, they're not a single mom. And they have no idea what my life is like, my world is like. When I get a day off, 9 times out of 10, like tomorrow, I'm going to be at my daughter's school. I'm going to be reading.
Yeah.
She goes to majority white school. What are we doing? Black History Month.
Who's the sponsor for Black History Month? Get Dawn. Get her to speak.
Right. You know?
She's black. She can speak.
We're doing Black History Month. We're learning about peanuts. Like, we're doing peanut butter. Like, that's what we're going to do tomorrow. Like, you know, I'm doing it next week, too. It's when I can, my time goes to my kid, you know? It's mm-hmm. just things like that nature. And, like, yeah, even when you call, I'm like, okay, let me see. I want to do this. I got to help her out. Like, I want to do her podcast. So I'm like, okay, can't do this day, can't do that. I can do this day after the gym, you know? Like,
exactly.
But I try to make it work. Like, mm-hmm. I try to have a life. I don't have a life because I need a man. I need a man.
I need a man. We haven't even touched on that aspect, but okay.
You know,
she's like, no, I need a man.
You know, it's one of them things where, you know, I have friends. I don't have a man. A friend. But, but you know, it's just one of those things where you just make it work. And if you don't have time to go out and yeah, you might miss going out. So, like, you know, happy hours and things like that. All that fun stuff. But whatever. I go on field trips. Forget your happy hour. Like, you know, I have, you know, I go bike riding on the beach with my kid. Like, I have things that, to me, trumps going to go to the club. Like, you know, like, who wants to go to the club where, please, we're making cookies.
Like, you know? I made Valentine's Day cookies with icing on it.
Like, who does do? You do arts and crafts? Mm-hmm. I do arts and crafts. So those are things where you're not going to trade that. Like, those moments with your kid, you won't trade it. So I don't miss the club. I miss dancing. Mm-hmm. I don't miss the club and people in it, no. But I miss, that's, her dogs right now are getting it on. Just so you know, in the middle of the podcast, her dogs are having sex right in front of me.
Yeah, they are. That's what he likes to show off a little bit. He's like, look what I can do. He's like, look, I can't do anything else. If she sits down, she's like not having it, but she likes a little tease.
Right? I see.
Look, he's following her. He's like, come on now. Come on now. Now, I know you said you treat your cast like, you know, your kids. You know, you make sure that they eat. You know, you stay with that guy for like 2 hours and made sure everything was okay. It almost seems like, you know, you're having mentees. Like, they're all like your little, do you actually guide them professionally too? Or do you have a mentee? Did you have a mentor?
I wouldn't have a per se mentor. I have people that have come into my life that has mentored me.
Mm-hmm.
Gina Prince by the Wood is one of them. Amazing, amazing writer-director. She loves basketball. She just recently did a movie with Nate Parker, Sick of Life Beach. She did, oh my goodness, so many movies. I love, 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 love her. I met her in a mom group. She's a mom, another mom that's like doing her thing. So I would say I didn't have a mentor, but I just have people that have come into my life and mm-hmm. said, you know, have done different things, like, you know, for me or have told me like, okay, try this, try that, mm-hmm. or things mm-hmm. of that nature. There's not one person, I would say. But mentees, there's a few people, PAs that I hire on the regular that I've seen like, oh, wow, you're really good.
Starting to grow.
Right, you're really, really good. Like, and I try to get them jobs so when things come my way, I'm like, here, take that wand. Like, you know, like things like that. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, so there are certain people that, you know, that I, if they really want it and I see that they want it, but I'm not an easy person to work for and I've noticed that, but it's not because I'm a bitch. I'm going to beep it out or whatever.
You say it.
Yeah, I'm not a bitch. It's more so that I expect things to be done like, oh, sorry, I thought it was off. I expect things to be done in a certain way, and I would like them to be done right. And not saying that my way is right, but mm-hmm. I'm going to show you how I want it done. And that's kind of how... And then once you work with me, then there's no more talking. Then we're on autopilot, you know? Like, I have amazing coordinators that literally, we don't even have to talk in the office. They know exactly how I like it, and mm-hmm. they just do it, and it's perfect. And, like, I train my office PAs the same way. But there's a lot of people that work for me. They're like, oh, you're mean. You're too direct. I'm like, I'm from the East Coast. What do you mean too direct?
Hello.
Like, how else am I going to do it? Like,
how does it get done?
Right, yeah. Like, recently I was told, well, she didn't tell me. She told somebody else. I was too direct. I'm like, well, how else am I supposed to be? Like, we don't have that much time to talk about this. Just do it. Like, there's no sugarcoating. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the world at Miramax, when I was interning, I was the only girl around for, like, forever to me. Like, I didn't see too many, like, few secretaries here and there. But for the most part, there were these very strong males around, and they were just bam, bam, talking to me. And I'm like, okay. And I lived the first day, I cried my eyes out. Because I thought they were mean to me, but they weren't mean. They were just telling me how it was.
Mm.
And that was like, okay, that's cool. And that's fine. I'll deal with it. And then getting more and more into this business, when people say, oh, they're mean, they're difficult, da da da. No, I don't see it that way. Eh, you may have some actors that could be divas, obviously.
Yeah.
But divas and difficult are two different situations. Difficult are people that you cannot work with. Like, it's just not working. They're just making your life just hell. And I work with those people. But I know how to work with the difficult folks too. I'm like, okay, I'm one step ahead of you. I already heard. Mm-hmm. So I got you.
Mm-hmm.
I ain't gonna mention her name.
But, he's like, but you know who you are. Right, so. And you're not a diva. You are a difficult diva.
Right.
And other words that I should be saying.
Right. So not Beyonce. She cool. She real cool. But you know, it's just like, you know, it's one of those things where you just, like, when I work with people, if I'm stern or direct or things of that nature, I'm small. I look very young. Mm-hmm. So I can't be the nice little girl because
she
look
looks 12,
like,
just so you know. I'm like,
I look like a kid.
Mm-hmm.
So if I am that, like, oh, okay, then it doesn't work. It doesn't, because I look so young and I'm so small, I do have to show, like, I would say pull my weight, or if you would call it, on set. Just because you have to know that I am your boss.
Mm-hmm.
I might be small, but I am your boss. So that's where it's like a hard little thing, because to some people I might be mean or too direct, which is the weirdest thing. But
yeah, I don't.
But the people that work for me on the regular, they love me, and that's when I call, they answer. They're like, okay, what you got? What you got? Let me move this around. Or I'm gonna tell them I'm not available anymore. I'm like, cool, because they know I'm gonna take care of them and I'm gonna fight for them.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
mm-hmm.
fight for them. So that's the difference, is that, you know, I will fight for my crew, and they know it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that balances out my directness.
Yeah. And I think you have to be direct with what you know what you want.
Yeah.
If you know what you want and what needs to get accomplished, you have to. Because if it's like, you know, maybe kind of, sort of.
Yeah, you're like, what? Marshall's coming. Why? Shoot the scene. Let's go.
And then money is just going out the window. Right. Here you go. Dollar bills just floating by. Project takes 3 years. It's like, wait, what's going on? Because you have to be direct. But do you feel like, you know, because you were saying that in that one office, you were the only woman, you know, and then being the only woman, were there any colored people, anybody of color there? So it's like, not only are you the only woman, but you're the only person that has pigment in their skin. Like, only person that has tan, like, real natural.
I would say in the music video world, I am blessed to say I'm no longer the only one.
Oh, no, not in the music video world.
No, because we are diverse, my crew, my first AD, like, we are a nice mix of everything. My coordinators, everywhere, it's great. The movie world, not so much, you know, mm-hmm. you know, but it's gonna get there. It's just, you know, we have to, like, one of my favorite DPs, Richard VLA, he's a young black DP, amazing guy, literally, like, one of the best out there, and, like, he's a young black guy from Howard, and he literally...
HU, yes.
I mean, you know, he did go to AFI after, but yeah, he went to Howard.
So, yeah, I've actually met Rich, I think, a long time. Yeah, I know.
You probably met Richard. Yeah. He's been, like, amazing. Years. He's so talented. He's, like, stupidly talented, and people haven't seen it yet. But people will see, because he's literally, like, gonna blow up. So there's a lot of, like, talent out there, of all colors and ages, and, like, I've met some amazing female producers and female DPs, and oh my goodness, I've met so many female DPs lately. And it's just like, just because I've worked on a lot of, like, you know, I did a job for Google, with all girls, like Girl Code, so it was just all girls, and it was like my DP, my sound, my, you know, the other producer, the director were all females, and it was really cool just to go and do this project and to meet Diane Feinstein from, like, Pixar. And it was just so cool just to be around all these women that are doing all this, like, amazing stuff in this male society, we are in, this male entertainment world.
Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting because, you know, like you said, for music videos, clearly we're a very diverse group, especially in certain genres of music, but we all know that. But since we're, you know, you're dealing with the whole males, I know, like, so have you seen...
Grabs the bottle.
I know, I was like, so, since you're in this male world, it should be easy to get in contact with all these men. Why are you still single? What's going on? Is it because you're busy? What is it? Do you date? Have you signed up for, Plenty of Fish? Tinder? I don't know what's out there now. Is it still match.com?
Well, do I date? No, I don't date. I have a friend, but he doesn't even live locally.
Mm-hmm.
But there's no title on that. He doesn't live locally. We're just friends. No, I don't really I don't do nothing. Like, my free time is my kid. I don't date. I don't even know how to meet people. Because everyone I do come in contact with, I work for them or they work for me. So, it's... And then there's nobody I really want to be with either. So, it's like... Yeah. You know, it's like... No, thanks, but... You know, or I've gotten people like, oh, okay, you know. And then next thing you know, I've gone on dates. And after the date, I get an email of a script.
No.
Yes. Yes. Oh, I've had more. Girl, I've had dates where people give me headshots, scripts, the whole nine. Like.
Oh. So. Side note, my computer just started playing.
Singing music.
Or is that my phone? Or,
look at her.
That's so. You saw. Wait, first of all, my computer. Oh, it's playing. Pretty Hurts.
Up, see?
I'm like, when you saw my computer was down.
It was.
Okay, let me go ahead and, okay, I love you, B, but, you know, okay. Yeah, so that's crazy, but you're saying you get scripts after the date.
I've gotten scripts after a date. I've gotten headshots. I've physically gotten a headshot after this one date. Like, after the end, it was kind of whack, and I was like, okay, you know, about to go. I even lied and said, like, oh, the movie theater's renovation. It was, and I just, like, wanted to get out of the date. And he was like, well, you know, before you go, can you take this? And he had a headshot ready.
Wow.
And I was like, okay, you know, if you have anything coming up. And I was like, okay. I've gotten emailed of scripts, like, can you do this budget for me? Hook me up. I'm like, hear my prices.
So, yeah, like, hear my rates.
Right, you know, but it's, oh, no, it's definitely happened more than one time. The first time I was like, what? And then it started happening on the regular. So I was like, okay, this is. So then I'm like, okay, I need somebody that's not in the business or more established than me. So they're not looking for anything from me.
Yeah.
You know, like, okay, you know, I'll be happy to put you on, but I don't want you to come at me because I can put you on or know somebody can put you on or something. But yeah, it's a little tough. Single mom and in this world. 18-hour day, I want to go home and go to bed. The last thing I want to do is go on a date.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Oh, so what is, like, the worst date? Because it seems like those have been pretty bad. But is there anything that trumps, here's my script, here's my headshot?
That dude with the headshot.
But I'm like, that's kind of like, I imagine, because I have not heard that. But, you know, I mentioned that to a friend of mine. Once you start moving in your career, people start looking at you differently. You know, in that aspect, like, here's my script.
Yeah, I think that was the worst. The headshot one was the one. I think I met him at a Greek picnic, too. He was Greek. Oh, my goodness. I remember like it was yesterday. He had a hole in his shirt. He had one shoestring in his shoes. And that date lasted for like maybe 2 hours. Like, afterwards, I was like, okay, I'm tired, please. It was the worst. I can't even, like... And he gave me a script and then tried to tell me about, oh, when I ordered food, he tried to tell me, oh, maybe that's not good for your body type. Yeah, I was like, excuse me? Like, yes.
Like, homie, I'm sorry. I'm not an actress. I'm going to eat and I'm hungry.
Exactly.
And I ordered this and I'm going to eat this.
Right. I'm like, anyway. And then he was so rude to the waitress that I came back the next day and gave her a tip and had to talk to her. I'm like, I'm so sorry. She's like, I was wondering why you was with him. Like, she hated him. Like, the whole restaurant was talking about him. Yeah, he was just rude and just, he wasn't rude to me. He was rude to everyone around
me.
And I was just, like, uncomfortable.
Well, no, he wasn't rude to you because he was trying to kiss up.
Right, he was trying to get a job.
He was trying to get a job. Oh, see, that is too much.
Yeah.
Now, what type of guy, who would... What's your guy? What's your type?
Oh, I don't know. I don't know.
I don't know.
I apparently have no idea what my type is. I would say ideally, I would want somebody that's, I wouldn't say in the business, but that understands the business. Mm. It's tough when you don't understand why this person is gone for so long. And like, what could be taking so long to be doing this? Like, you know, why are you gone for 16 hours?
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, like, I would say a guy that would understand that,
mm-hmm.
someone that's, like, physically fit and like, understands, like, you know, physical fitness and health.
Because you work out.
Right, work out on the regular. Like, that's why when he told me, what, you're going to order that, I'm like, are you kidding me? I work out for Nike. Are you kidding? What? So, it's like,
yes, I am going to eat this. Like,
yeah, my Nike shoes, I didn't pay for them. Yeah. Thanks, Nike. Mm-hmm. So, it's like,
so shout out to Nike.
You know, I love me my Nike. So, yeah, I don't get why, you know, it's just certain guys are just, It's hard. I would say out here is probably the worst. It's because no one approaches me out here. One, I think, is maybe I look young, or maybe I look intimidating. Who knows? I don't know. But I don't get approached. I don't get asked out. But if I do, I probably don't even see it. It probably completely just completely go. I'm not even in I'm in my office. Literally, like, office all day long. And when I'm out, I'm with my kid. And I wish a guy would try to talk to me with my child. Wait, have you lost your mind? You know? And I've heard people come up to, like, me, like, Hey, your daughter got a daddy. What?
No, she's a miracle baby. God is her daddy. I'm the Virgin Mary, the present day. Like, you know, what's the Virgin show with Rodriguez?
Yes. Is it called
Virgin? Jane the Virgin. I am Jane the Virgin. Like, okay. Yes, she has a dad.
Yeah, I was like, yeah, she has a dad. She doesn't need one from you, thanks. But yeah, but those are the lines. She was like, my daughter's like right there. Mommy, does he know my daddy? No, Skyla, he's just special. Oh, he's special? Yeah, he's special.
Like real special. You'll learn the difference of special years later.
Yeah, like when people come to her, like that to me is like the worst. Like, okay, don't talk to my kid. That's creepy, you know?
But... yeah, like that's a stranger danger.
Right.
Stranger danger. Didn't you learn that when you were 5?
Right.
Back so, up.
It's my daughter's looking like, who are you? Why? Did you know them? No, Scott, you don't got to talk to them.
Don't talk.
Right. So, yeah, it's tough. And especially now when there's school things and it's like, okay, we won't be going. And her dad's active in her life. Like, he, you know, he picks her up from school, and he's super active and helps me out. He understands, like, my world. So, your computer has a mind of its own.
I'm like, this computer is possessed. I'm like, okay, really? Maybe let me just, here we go, silent, turn it off. It's, yeah. Yeah, so her dad is active. So,
yeah, her dad's active.
And you guys have a great relationship? Or
yeah, now. We have a great relationship now. The past year has been great. Like, he has a great relationship with her, and, like, he sees her probably, like, 3-4 times a week. He sees her as much as he wants. Like, there's no... I would never keep, you know, her away from her dad. That's not, like, who I am. You know, he moved closer to, like, see her more. So, you know, when I can't pick her up, like, I hit him up yesterday when I was at the office. I'm like, hey, need your help? He's like, I got her. Don't worry. So he picked her up, and, you know, so... And his son is, like, literally, like, he calls me stepmom, and he's 16, and... You know, I was around for 6 years of his life, so I'm still, like, I go up to a school, what's going on? Like, you know, I'm still there for him, like, just because me and his dad are not together. And so I would love for somebody to have that sense of family, because I have it, and, you know, Devin's not my child, but he's my kid. Like, I will fight for that little boy. You know, he's not my child, but he's like another child to me. So, I would love somebody that already has a kid, so it means I can keep my figure.
Yeah, so you're not trying to have any other kids.
Nah, it's somebody
you're like, really I'm good.
If they really want one, like if I meet a guy and he really, really wants one, then I'll consider. It's just with my job, it's just tough. It's really tough, you know. Unless, like, you know, Will Smith break up with Jada or Jackie Long or I don't know who else out there. I don't even know who's out there.
Yeah, that's right. But if it's someone like that and you're like, hey, I want a kid, you know, like, then we can talk. We can figure things out.
You know, you established. You know, you can help me out with a nanny.
We can get a nanny full time. So while I'm still working, I can say, hey, little one.
Right, exactly. We can work out another kid, you know, but right now, I can't see another child right now. Because of. But do I want to adopt? I will adopt. Not even a question. Okay. I will adopt. I volunteer now and then at a foster home. And I really, 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 like, I plan to adopt. Like, that's my main thing. I definitely plan to adopt.
Oh, well. All right, well, actually, it is perfect timing to be wrapping up. So if you guys are interested, if that is you, if you are that guy.
Oh, my God. Oh, no.
We just changed
the poll.
Just changed the whole segment.
No. Let's go back to what we're talking about.
No, we're going to bring that back. So if that is you, if you don't want kids established in your career.
Oh, my goodness. What did I get myself
You
into?
Can find her very nice, beautiful, talented.
See, serve me a mimosa. She gets me talking.
You know, are you the one? Are you that guy?
No, you're not that guy. I'm sure you're not the guy.
Maybe he is. You don't know. Maybe he is the guy. The guy that's listening right now to this
what
podcast.
What happened to my film and my music video conversation?
No, that was earlier. I got some mimosas in your system, so who's looking to be a stepdaddy?
Oh, my God.
Stepdaddy. Are you out there?
Throw up.
Are you out there? Watch. You never know. We're playing. It's like lined up. And I'm like, I helped her. You know what? We're actually good for that. I have hooked up some people and they are still together and happy to this day. So don't doubt me. Are you doubting me?
I guess.
She's kind of doubting my skills low key.
Oh, I'm doubting them.
She's doubting my skills right now. I may know in my back pocket. Maybe I know them personally. You don't know.
I don't know.
See? You doubting me.
You know Obama.
Maybe I do have Obama's number, but he's married.
I have. Michelle will work too.
He said, hey.
He's the leader of the free world.
You know, you don't know who I have. Maybe I got somebody in my back pocket.
I will be Olivia Pope. Yes. Obama.
You know, I will be Olivia Pope.
To Obama.
If it's Obama.
I will be Olivia Pope. I will be the side chick.
He said, for Obama.
Only for Obama. Only for Obama.
Only. Obama, I got you.
Yeah, nobody else. Nobody else.
You said nobody. Someone else is like, oh, I'm Obama. Yeah. My name is Obama. Maybe there's someone who's listening right now and their real name is Obama.
Well, not that
one. You said, not that Obama. You ain't the real Obama. You the fake Obama. Watch. I'm serious. Watch. Someone's lined up. Watch. That's what you do when you get mimosas in someone's system. When you get someone liquored up, you just start getting the real out. Next time we're taking shots. And then I'm gonna have phone calls during the podcast and answering questions. Then I'm gonna have a line outside and actually be like speed dating. You never know. You never know what's gonna happen.
I see.
Yeah, so tell everybody where they can find you or find your work, your next step that you're working on, or social media stuff. Or if you want people, because some people keep stuff private too. Maybe you got a private page, but tell people the public page so they can see what's going on.
I post on Instagram, but a lot of it's me and my kid. But it's Dawn Lucky
Manning. So stepdaddy should be watching that. Your future.
I think my Instagram is Dawn Lucky Manning. I think.
So you're not using that one, clearly.
No, I only have one Instagram. It's either
But you're
Dawn,
not using it.
It's either Dawn Lucky Manning or Dawn Manning. One second. Let me look. I can look right now. Yeah, it's Dawn Lucky Manning.
Okay, so you know who you're following on Instagram, so yes. Follow that.
And I post everything from workout stuff to my kids to food to what I'm working on if I'm looking for. I put all my castings out there when casting. I do put all my castings. I try to put all my castings out. I post on my Facebook, which is Dawn Lucky Manning as well. So you can follow me there. I definitely post my castings on Facebook when I'm looking for assistance and things. I will be interviewing for a personal assistant next week as well. And I'll be posting that all out.
So you got the Instagram and you got your Facebook. Are you on Twitter?
I think I am, yeah.
No, okay. So we're not going to shout out the Twitter.
Twitter. I just forgot my password. So I do have a Twitter account.
So just not even say Twitter. That's just not even put that out there. Because someone's like, I just tweeted at her. And no, just do Instagram and Facebook. Because if you don't know your password, no one can find you. But that's at least your Instagram and correct Facebook.
Yes.
Okay, cool. All right, so we got that. So if you guys are looking for a position, maybe for stepdad or assistant or for casting, go check her out. Definitely get some work. If you're new coming out here, if you're already out here and you're like, hey, I got a single kid too, or I got a kid and I need to work and all this stuff too. So check her out. And you guys can find me. I wish I had everything synced together, but my names are just not. But you know what? They're already taken. That's the thing when I started signing up. So for my Instagram, Megan A. Weaver, Facebook, Megan Weaver. So at least that's kind of pretty much the same. And for Twitter, it's Bacon, like the food. Yes, I see you looking at me like I'm crazy. Eating Megan. Check out the last podcast at the very end. I do talk about why that's my Twitter name. Yes, it is Bacon, Eating, no G, Megan. Okay.
Bacon, Eating, Megan.
Bacon, Eating, Megan. Thank you so much, guys, for listening to Water Wine Time with Megan Weaver. Love, life, and entertainment. All right. Thank you so much. And we'll hear you next time. Bye.
Bye.